Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello, everybody. Today on the conversation, we have Carlene Parahi, and Jesse is sort of with us, but not quite with us. They are the power couple behind Sense Rugby, which I'm sure many of you have seen in social media and on mainstream media. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we were both kind of commenting before I hit record that we have our jugs of water lined up to manage throats and coughs and tickles. So thank you.
Yes, winter with a toddler.
Winter with a toddler. So almost let's start there. How did all of this occupational therapy meets rugby? How did all of that story begin?
Sure. We've got a few different versions of the story because it was just one of those things that I think it happened almost accidentally. So we always think back on those times and sort of reflect on what made it be what it is today. I was working in private practice at the time. I think I was about 5 years out of uni and working with a lot of kids with sensory needs, a lot of kids with social needs, especially those kids on the spectrum, and, you know, just working with them in helping them do what they want to do. And a lot of the time, the families that I was working with were coming to me saying that they wanted to be part of the sporting community. So they wanted their kids to play sport, but things were just not working out. And they were trying all sorts of different activities and just could not, you know, find a place where they felt accepted and not judged, but also where the coaches understood what their kids were presenting with. So you know, it sort of sat in the back of my mind as this at the same time as us just reflecting together, Jesse and I, around what rugby did for him growing up. So he was a child, the way he describes it to me is that he was a child who just could not sit still or function in that classroom environment. He found it really hard to be organized and I think often was just not thriving in the classroom, but really thriving on the sport field. So we talked about this and then thought about this gap around sports that are inclusive. And we decided, well, we'll run some groups. We've got this, you know, perfect combination of being an OT and then being a sports person. And, you know, before we knew it, it became a full-blown therapy program that then grew into something that other people wanted to get on board with and wanted to run to, and here we are.
Describe what Sense Rugby is and what it looks like.
Sure. So Sense Rugby it's therapy. It's a therapy program that is similar to a gross motor skills program or a social skills program, but it's run using rugby equipment and modified rugby drills. So we wanted to take that group environment into the community and make it really meaningful and functional for the kids, but then also allow them to learn something that they're going to be able to do forever, right? So if they had issues with or if they just needed a lot of movement, a lot of heavy work, a lot of physical play, we wanted to give them something, a place where they can get that input, where they're not in trouble for it. But we also wanted to really have that opportunity to practice becoming part of a sports team before they then go and integrate into a team where they might not have that support. So now it is run as a program where it's run weekly. So it's run alongside the school terms and it's run in rugby clubs most of the time. Sometimes they're not, but most of the time they're affiliated with a local rugby club where the therapists and some mostly OTAs or rugby coaches come together. They deliver the program together and then they get that opportunity to do it on the field that they might play in or that assistance to then go on and integrate into the team.
And you guys aren't running around Australia delivering all of these programs. You've gone the full business model, and you're working alongside and with other OTs running it. How does, just at a really high level, how does all of that kind of hang together?
Sure. So this has been one of the biggest strengths for us is working with so many OTs. It's also been one of the biggest challenges in finding a model that works for everyone. We ended up with a franchise model. It took a road to get here, but we're now fully franchised. So we team up with that local practice, which we find works really well because they've got a caseload of kids that they may know could really would suit this program. They run it in conjunction with their existing therapy. So they might, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon, they might run their Sense Rugby programs. And yeah, so they run that in as a fully franchised model. What that's allowed us to do is still be really involved and still really check in with the therapist as they go along and, you know, allow them to sort of, rather than a program that you just do the training for, we're still really actively involved in it. So we all connect every term. We're constantly changing and adapting and learning from each other. However, they've got, you know, their own business, their own clients, and it's completely separate from us, but we've got that collaboration and that ongoing support.
Mm. And what sort of business owners are joining you and taking up the franchise model, the franchise offer?
It's quite different, actually. It's quite varied. I find that lately we've seen that a lot of business owners who are parents and who are really used to seeing their own kids involved in sports seem to be the ones that are most attracted to it at the moment. So a lot of them are really established existing businesses and practices who wanted something else to add to their practice to, I guess, extend what they're able to deliver and to make it really functional for parents. So we've got those bigger, really established practices in the community. Some of our biggest ones are probably Sensational Kids that are based in the Shire, Occupational Therapy Helping Children based in Sydney as well. But we've got a bunch of different ones. There's about 20 practices on board now. So those are practices that we see it work really well for because they do have that established caseload and they're able to provide a program of the size. The other types of businesses that we see jump on board are often therapists who may be sort of trying to take that step into private practice as well. So may still want a community to work with, a connection with therapists regularly and the ability to reflect with a bigger team. But that may be running Sense Rugby with a hope to add some further clients to their caseload too.
Mm. And from what you've seen to date, what are the benefits for the business owner and the practice? We'll get to the kids in a tick, but what have you noticed?
We see a lot of just referrals. So obviously just kids coming to Sense Rugby because they want that particular program, also ending up to be clients of the practice. I have to say a lot of our practices are pretty full, as we know at the moment, with you know, just the demand in OT. So that's been one side of it. The other side has been having something to act as a almost like a middle ground between finishing up with your individual intensive clinic-based therapy to not just letting our kids go off into the community with no support, almost like a little stepping stone. They have advised that that's been really helpful for their practices. I think one of the things that we get most often is that it's actually sometimes the staff have actually been the part of the business that are really, really pushing it because they're really enjoying running it. So they're just enjoying getting out. They're enjoying seeing what their clients are like in big group community environments. And they're having fun with it. And I feel that's a really important part of it at the moment because it is such a competitive field to find staff and to hold on to staff. I don't think any of our practices are not hiring. So that's been an added benefit too.
Mm. Is it only occupational therapists who are engaging with you?
Yeah, so because we actually get this a lot that people want to run it who are not OTs, and you know of course we are finding that that's great because there's so many different skills involved. However, we really wanted to keep it, we wanted to keep it a way that there's always a therapist there. What we're finding just naturally because of practices being quite multidisciplinary or even, you know, there's partners who are physios and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
We do find that we've often got a variety of different professionals there. However, we do always make sure that it's an OT.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Now, what about the kids? What do they get out of it?
It's so different between kids.
Yeah.
We've been chatting about completing a research project, and this is something that for us is important. How do we capture the differences, the different benefits that kids get? So we've got the kids who are just improving their motor skills. We've got kids who are all of a sudden playing with other kids on the, you know, on the footy field at recess time. We've got kids who are really developing their confidence, just having that opportunity to be successful and get positive feedback and really physically succeed has allowed them to succeed in other environments too. So, you know, we've got one little boy who's really thriving in drama at the moment, and his parents are telling us that they feel that that's because he's had that one, that, you know, that trigger to successful social participation. We're also seeing a lot of improvement just in being being able to manage their sensory processing abilities too. So getting out on the grass, being surrounded by other kids who are getting excited and might be loud, or being okay with falling over on a tackle bag, that sort of more specific outcome too.
Oh, I've enjoyed watching the little snippets on the news and, through some colleagues who are setting the program up, and it just sounds perfect. It just sounds such a great combo. It's kind of so obvious. It's just divine. So this is keeping you busy, no doubt. So you've got a little one and a partner as a professional sports person. How does the week kind of work out for you?
Oh, every week's pretty different. Last week did not work out, I'll tell you that much. No, I am.
That happens.
Look, it does happen. And I think that's something that we've sort of learned to manage a little bit over the last few years. So as you mentioned, my husband, Jesse, he's still playing for Australia. He plays for the Australian Rugby Sevens team. And they are in the process of qualifying for the Olympics. They've got their qualifier in October. He went to the previous Rio Olympics and has still been playing since then. They travel around the world every year, so they've got 10 spots that they travel to. And then, of course, we've got our little two-year-old who's Mika, and she is divine. But as kids go, it's not easy to balance it all. So my week is she's in daycare Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And those are my days to focus on sense rugby and, you know, just all the other things we have to do too. So for us, with being the kind of organization where, and I'm sure a lot of our OTs would relate to this, where it's not, you know, that word work-life balance, it's not a myth for us.
No.
No, so it's everywhere, and it's sort of who we are, and it's part of our week, and we kind of fit things in as we are able to. For me, it's been a learning curve. I didn't come from a business background or even a leadership background when coming into Sense Rugby. I was very much just working as an OT and ended up, in this situation where we have to work out business models and, try and find things that work for a lot of people. My motto around it now is really just to try and be present in what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So if I'm with my daughter, that's where I am. If I'm, you know, if I'm working, that's what I'm doing. And if I'm spending time with hubby, that's, you know, what I try to be fully engaged in. But, you know, we make it work as we go along.
Mm. How much OT work are you doing nowadays?
Very little specific clinical work. So I was still working 4 days a week when we started Sense Rugby. We ran Sense on the fourth day, and then I moved into seeing clients in a private practice on my own, along with running Sense Rugby. And as it moved and grew and as it got bigger and also as my daughter was born, I just found that it was better for me to separate it, to focus either on the business side of things or to be treating. It just felt really messy when I was doing both at the same time. So I was very lucky that I was able to focus on running Sense Rugby and doing the back end of it and respecting how much work that actually took. And now I'm kind of getting to a point where I might see one or two clients on the side too.
Yeah. So a sizable amount of back of house work for Sense Rugby. How did you learn all of those business, time, tech, money, legal skills, marketing, forgot the marketing? How did you pick all that stuff up?
Oh, look, it was definitely a big learning curve. We were very lucky with the marketing side of things that when we first started, we put something out on social media that was picked up by a principal on the Central Coast at St. Brendan's Catholic School in Lake Memora, and she wanted us to run it. And as a result of that, we got picked up by the Huffington Post as a story, and that was, you know, great marketing for us. And that allowed us to have that catalyst to be able to put it out to a bigger audience. I feel like if we start with marketing, social media has been really big for us. Yeah. And it is a learning curve, because it's not just this is how you do social media. It is this, it just changes all the time. So for me, I found that a lot of trial and error really helped in learning that. And actually been reading a book lately. It's called 1 Million Followers. It's by Brendan Kane, and he's built a million followers within 30 days from scratch. And to me, I found that using those kinds of resources have really helped me to just sort of think outside the box around things that I know absolutely nothing about, and just kind of seeking out that external learning opportunity. In terms of the actual business side, finance, legal, especially with us, legal was a big side because we had to set up franchising agreements and so on. Just building a really good team has been the most helpful part. So I just, you know, I don't enjoy the accounting side of life. And that was we actually had someone who was not ideal for us when we started, and we had to learn that we have to find people that were. So for me, finding the team that you can work with, that know how to work with you, that was a big change in how we're able to manage the business. For me, another part was, especially when Mika was born, was to stop trying to do absolutely everything and just try and focus on what I was good at and the part that that got us to where we were. We got Jenny Pyther from Allied Health Admin Services. She does our NDIS claims and our, you know, that side of things, which was life-changing for me to have a person to share that with. As I mentioned, just, yeah, building up that team and just learning how to let other people take charge of some of those areas so that you can really stay fresh and stay focused and work on the business, not in it.
Yeah. Oh, it can take a while to get the hang of that, because you've got to let go of a whole lot of stuff, and you've got a degree, so you think you should be able to know all of this, and there's a lot of mind shifting as a rule required to step from in it to on it.
That's it. And I actually found that something that helped me was that when we Jesse and I personally ran all our sessions at the start. But when all, you know, when word got out and we had so many people wanting to get on board, we really had to learn how to hand it over to someone else. Otherwise, it wasn't going to be able to grow. So for me, I mean, there was just no way that between Jesse's traveling schedule and our toddler that we were going to be able to get to all these places that wanted it to run. So very early on, we had to go, well, if we really, what do we want this to look like? What do we want our lifestyle to look like? And if it's going to look like that, what are we going to need to be able to do? Mm-hmm. And that's where getting getting that franchising model and learning that every OT is going to run it differently. It's going to look different, but it's going to have value in also looking different and learning how to be okay with that. That was just a really big moment of stepping away and, you know, just giving away some of that control. Mm. I think that now in retrospect, that was the best thing we could have done, because it meant that we were able to service more areas, but it also meant that we have, you know, 30 OT brains on the same program rather than me trying to solve every problem.
Yeah. Without naming all the names, give us a bit of a rundown on who's on the Sense Rugby business team.
So, look, it's at myself and Jesse, obviously. we've got a great legal team in people and culture strategies who are based in Sydney. They are actually also our primary sponsor, which has just been fantastic, because their owner, Joy Deep Hoare, he has been just the biggest asset for us, because he has a successful, very, very successful business, but he's also an expert in creating great culture. So we've been able to sit down with him and chat through just those things that just leave us baffled. And just, you know, things like business structure and how to deliver this program successfully in Australia, but also abroad. Having that person has been really useful for us. We also use Peer Wealth Accounting in they're based in Manly in Sydney. And same sort of thing, where for me it became so important to have people to sit down with and just, you know, talk, just let everything that you're thinking about out and think about, just brainstorm with someone around how we're going to make this work. Jenny, as I mentioned before, from Allied Health Admin Services, she's been really awesome in helping us set up policies and systems that work on a really practical everyday basis too. And then I guess, yeah, just being able to reflect with all of our OTs has been, yeah, phenomenal for me.
How do you communicate with all of those OTs? They sound as though they're family rather than franchisees.
That's what we like to hear. Look, it's quite different. I think it's important in this role. For me, I see my role really as serving those franchisees. Someone asked me the other day, you know, how do I go leading, or, you know, being a boss, or, you know, that side of things. And to me, that's not at all how I see it. I really think we're seeing it as it's our role to work for those franchisees to help them to solve the problems that come up with Sense Rugby. So for me, it's important to find what works best for those people to communicate. So some of them are wanting to give us a call every once in a while. Some of them are wanting to email. Some we do this. So the Zoom or teleconferencing type option. Zoom is the way we go about having our termly teleconferences. But I think it's really important when you have a big group of people working together to find out what works best for them to communicate. And how can you then set that up? I think as we grow bigger, we'll have to continue to find different ways to do it. So we use Facebook groups as well, and just kind of that social media connection. But yeah, I do think it'll be important to have a way to connect all our therapists together so they can also learn from each other.
Yeah, that's that power of sense of community. Absolutely the way to go. Now, you mentioned as you continue to grow, what do you envisage Sense Rugby to look like in the next couple of years?
We've got a really exciting couple of years coming up. So we're continuing to add more practices around Australia. We've also got an opportunity to spend a fair bit of time in Dubai in the next year or so. They are really interested in having Sense Rugby be part of their schools. The UAE as a nation is committed to being very friendly for people with disabilities, so that we will be forming a part of that that process in helping them make sport accessible. We're really excited to be heading to New Zealand and possibly working also with Theresa May Benson in the States to, you know, share our program there. So for us, that's our focus in the next couple of years, to get to those places and just continue to really develop the program to provide, you know, excellent levels of support to our franchisees. Jessie is also hopefully aiming to go to the Olympics in Tokyo. So it's a big couple of years, but I think it's also a time of real opportunity for us, where we are excited to be given these opportunities to share it with OTs in Australia, but also the world.
What would you like anyone listening? Well, there'll be lots of people listening. What would you like them to kind of, you know, deeply understand about Sense Rugby and the role that they can play with it?
There's a lot of different roles, actually. But I think that for me, the biggest part of it has been, and the thing as a therapist that, and personally, that I really took from it, is just that we need to be working collaboratively. We need to be connecting, and we need to be putting our brains together if we're really going to make a global impact with our profession, if we're going to have families, clients, and the world understand what we do and the value that we can bring to it. So I think Sense Rugby is a really great way to do it, because it kind of bridges that gap between people who have absolutely no idea what OT brings and maybe very much in a different world, and I guess our OT brains to put that I guess to bring that message across in a really community-based way, if that makes sense. So I think it allows us to be really amongst it and really in the community, and in that way just sort of demonstrate what our value is.
Well, when you think about it, it is the purest of OT, for that matter. It's where kids do things. It's where parents hang out. It's where fun happens, and learning and communication and language and all of those other things. You know, kids can certainly develop certain skills in a clinic environment, but it's a whole different, literally whole different ball game when it's muddy and it's a bit windy and there's other kids and there's a commitment and a sense of a sense of pride, I think, that the kids get.
That's exactly it. So, and that sense of being good at something that, or doing, even just participating in something that all the other kids at their school is doing, because everyone isn't going to OT, but most likely most kids are going to some form of sport. So for our kids, some of them they're just so happy when for the first time they also have that
a place to go.
Better word, a normal activity to go and do. But at the same time, we know that our kids do have, you know, they need early intervention and they have limited time. So the ability to be able to do it together is really nice, because, you know, they are crashing and they're falling and they're rolling and they're doing their therapy, but they're doing it in a way that they might not necessarily know is therapy.
And it's just typical messy childhood stuff, good days and bad days, and yeah.
Exactly. And for the parents too, they've got an opportunity to connect with someone weekly, which I don't think I really valued before I was a parent. I did see the benefit of having parents on the sideline connecting every week. But now that, you know, I'm sort of in the trenches and I realize how much our lives as parents revolve around, you know, mother's group and then whatever, you know, music group or whatever the kid does next, you know, our week revolves around that too, around that that being with other parents, watching our kids do stuff that seems to be taking so much of our time. So I think that's really an added benefit for the families.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely love it. I would love to have you back as a guest next year, where you can give us a bit of an update on progress towards Tokyo and the ongoing rollout of Sense Rugby. So certainly in the show notes, we'll put links to the website and to if people listening are curious and want to know more about Sense Rugby and bringing it to their neighbourhoods. You're up for that conversation?
Definitely.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit PracticeMadePerfectPodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.